Good morning. Today is June 13th, 2016, and I just want to praise the Lord that we're here together. And there's been a lot that's taken place around our country the last few days, specifically in Orlando. And for those of us that are on the John Maxwell team, Orlando has a special place in our hearts because that's where we gather twice a year. And we just want to make sure that we all are lifting them up in our prayers and holding them in our prayers, but also that we reach out and love on the people that are closest to us. It really brings things into perspective that we just aren't sure. We just go about our own day, right? And then you just never know what may happen. We've got a lot of prayer requests at the end of our call today. We'll be doing prayer together, but for those of you that might be listening to the recording, we've spent probably about 10 minutes today just going over different prayer requests and uplifting each other and praising God for the great things that are happening in our lives as well. Those are not recorded. We jump on the line about 8:25 Central Time in the morning, and we go through and take those prayer requests and lift each other up throughout the week as well as on our call today. Today's topic is increasing our faith, qualities that every leader should know. You know, a lot of us have always heard those things about our potential, the cliches about, you know, the cream will rise to the top, and when the tough gets going, or when the going gets tough gets going, and, you know, all that kind of thing, that we rise to the occasion usually, right, when we face adversity. But I want us to think about potential today and faith and how it's tied together. So before we start into the study, I just want to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I just pray you would touch our hearts, touch our lives today in a way that would be so amazing, that we would have an increase in our faith. You tell us in your word that you've given us all a measure of faith, but Lord, we ask it to increase today. Lord, we know there's so much potential inside of each one of us, and there's so much more that we could do for you. And you tell us in your word that we can do super abundantly, more than we could ever ask, think, dream, or imagine. So, Father God, I pray that you would speak through my mouth of clay, that you would help me to decrease so that you could increase, that you would give me supernatural recall of your word, and that you would have our lives changed today in such a deep and meaningful way that we would remember your word, not just today, but each and every day of our life. Lord, I pray that you would help us not only to hear your word, but be doers of your word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was thinking about potential and faith and what it means to be like that seed and plant those seeds. And I was thinking about Thomas Edison. I got up really early this morning and I turned on the light and I thought, you know, praise God for Thomas Edison. You know, sometimes I think we forget about just some of those things that we take for granted. I mean, God forbid that our internet goes out for a quick couple of seconds, or our electricity goes off, or you know, in the heat of the summer, the air conditioning stops, or the electricity goes out. We just think about all of these things as inconveniences, and many times we forget to praise the Lord for those people that went through the struggle, that went through that adversity. I mean, Thomas Edison had hundreds and hundreds. I even heard that he did this over 1,000 times, tried to create the light bulb. I can remember that we used to go to Greenfield Village. I lived in Michigan, and it's just a fascinating place where there's so many different homes of inventors and different things to see. And I used to love going into the shop that was Thomas Edison's, and I didn't know why. And now I kind of do, now that I'm an entrepreneur, and I go through, you know, he spent so much time, effort, money, and energy trying to invent the light bulb, and he failed over and over and over again. But when the reporters came in and they asked him, you know, what did it feel like, or why did you do that? He didn't defend himself. He just went over to the wall and flipped the switch, and the light bulb went on. He didn't have to prove himself. He had faith that it was going to happen. And you know what? And I'm sure that you might feel the same way. Like, you know, I've got a lot of adversity in my life, or sometimes it just seems like it's a little bit harder than it should be. Maybe you've got situations in your life where people are trying to come in and steal your dreams. Should we focus on our critics, the one that want to point out all the things that keep going wrong, or that you've not felt well for a while, or any of the adversity that seems to be coming your way? What would happen if we focused on those things and those people who are really negative and critical towards us? We would surely fail, wouldn't we? What we need to focus on is our development and our faith, right? And not losing that faith. Sometimes the going is tough. Sometimes it does take time and effort and discipline and failure along the way. But if we're faithful, there's going to be a rich reward, and it's waiting for all of us if we simply rise to the occasion to what's in front of us. Having faith, knowing that where we're going is where God wants us to be. We need to stay focused on the future, not focused on the failures of the past. You know, there was a little girl who asked her mom a lot of questions. I can identify with that as well. And she said, "Mommy, why do flowers grow?" And by this time, the mom's patience had been completely exhausted. She was so weary from so many questions, and she finally said, "You know, I'm not sure, dear. I think the seeds just get tired of being in the dirt, and it just wants to grow up and become attractive." I love that answer. Are you tired of staying in the dirt? Do you want to get up and out of the dirt that we're in and become more attractive in our own lives and in our own businesses? You know, speaking of seeds, remember that the dream in your heart may be bigger than the environment that it's in. It might require a different environment for you. You might need to tap into greater levels of faith. Think about it. If you planted an acorn in a small pot, once it takes root and it begins to grow into an oak tree, it's not going to be able to stay in that small spot, because in that pot, the pot's going to stifle the tree's growth. It's going to need to be moved into a larger environment. But yet many times for us, we want to stay in the same environment. We say, "Lord, why are you doing this to me? Why am I under all this attack?" When the Lord's just saying, "Hey, man, I'm just trying to give you a bigger pot to grow into." It needs to be moved into a larger environment. Otherwise, it's never going to become the mighty oak tree that it has the potential of becoming. Sometimes it has to be transplanted in order to experience its fullest growth. And at that time, I don't know if you've ever transplanted plants, but a lot of times you shake off the old dirt and you've got bare roots there. Have you ever been shaken to the place where you've got bare roots? The thing that I know about most successful people and most great people is they have a common thread flowing through them. They want to have things be better than what they currently are. They have faith. They know that they need to realize their potential. You know, the Bible tells us that nothing's impossible in Luke 1:37. There's never a day when this isn't true. But most of us tend to think too small, to pray too small, believe too small, and to live too small. We believe the lie that God may be able to do that for somebody else, but that's just not for me. This kind of thinking limits what God can do in us and through us. It can also keep us from realizing our full potential in life. You know, one definition of the word potential says what you can do but yet have not accomplished. What is faith? Faith is what we cannot see. It's something tangible, but we cannot see it. It's the deed. It's the right to know that it's ours, but we've got to hang on to that. Potential really isn't just about how far we can go. It's how far we can go with God. You see, God loves you and has great expectations for you. And when you develop and use what he's given you, whether you view it as big or small, you're developing the potential he created in you. It tells us in Ephesians 2:20 that we're God's handiwork. We're his workmanship, recreated in Christ, born anew, that we may do those good works which God has predestined and planned beforehand for us taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. But many of us don't realize that potential because we get stuck in this disbelief. We start listening to the voices in our own head or those around us that says that that's for somebody else but not for us. God is into creativity, and he's into uniqueness. That's why he created you to be you. Every snowflake is different. Every person is different. We all have different fingerprints. We all have different DNA, but we've got to live into it. He created only one you, and he gave you a specific task and specific purpose. Somehow, though, as people here on earth, what we like to do is we look at what things are readily available to us right now, what we see tangibly around us, and not realizing that with faith, God's given us everything that we need and every resource we need to accomplish his purpose that he's put inside of us, that potential. You know, we need to think about what God says about us and what his opinion is because, you know, we can't allow our past failures or the thoughts or the opinions of other people or even the devil make us feel devalued. Don't let anyone or anything cause you to believe that your life doesn't matter or you don't have a perfect purpose because it's a lie. Every life matters. Don't believe that it doesn't. Your value isn't determined by what you've been through. It was and is determined by God. The bad things that may have happened in your life don't present a problem for him or disqualify you from reaching your potential. He doesn't base your future off your history. We need to come into agreement with God because his word tells us that we're worth more than this entire planet. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 says, "You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." So all the world's silver and all the world's gold would not be enough to redeem you. Only the blood of Jesus is so precious, and it's enough. And I want you to hear something. I want you to really understand this, that Jesus didn't die to make you valuable. His death for you simply proved your value. On your worst day, you're still worth more than the whole world. No matter what the worst thing was that you've ever done or not done, you are more valuable to him than the entire world. You got to get that really down into the core of your being. He also wants you to understand that you don't get your identity from your parents. You came through your parents, but your identity comes from God. Maybe you weren't even planned by your parents. Maybe you were told that you were a mistake. But that's not the case with God. He planned you. He wanted you here, and he gave you a purpose. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, "Before I even formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I sanctified you and set you apart. I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations." You've got a special message that he wants you to deliver. So don't limit God. Don't do that. Be encouraged. Our potential is further than we could ever go alone. And we need to tap into that potential by living into our faith. And, you know, I love Hebrews 11. That's the faith chapter of the Bible, right? And one of the greatest chapters, because as I look at this, I see ordinary people just like you and just like me doing what they were doing. Just supposed to do, just what was in front of them. And they didn't understand that they were going to be remembered for all eternity for their great faith. They were being faithful. They were listening. They were having time with God, and they were doing what he instructed to do. You know, there's several faith heroes that are listed there, and I absolutely love it. And I want us to look at some qualities to be a great leader, and these are qualities of faith that each one of us can use as examples to live into that potential that's inside of us. You know, faith pleases God is the first one. The author of Hebrews begins a chapter by reminding us that God commended the ancients for their faith. He loved that. He wanted us to make sure that we knew how important he valued faith and how important it was that we do the same thing. He emphasizes the idea that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, that's pretty heavy. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's verse 6. And if we want our leadership to please God, we have to exercise true faith and we have to trust him. Now, this is where some people say, you know what, I need to trust God more, right? It's because he starts to stretch us. And he wants to say, okay, do you have faith? Okay, I knew you had faith in the past, but now let's take this to a new level because, you know, I want to give you more. So he starts to test and he starts to stretch us, and then we shrink back and we say, oh, God, why are you allowing the devil to attack us? No, it tells us here that God wants us to be able to do more, and he wants to be pleased with us, and the way that we do that is by having more faith, letting him show himself strong. The second quality would be faith doesn't eliminate uncertainty or discomfort. Verse 7 talks about God's command to Noah to build an ark. You want to talk about some faith. It had never rained before, ever, on the planet. And he said, okay, right in the middle of this field, I want you to start building a big boat. And we're going to float it right from here. I mean, come on. I know that people called Noah crazy. They would have to. What's your idea that God's given you? That maybe somebody said, who do you think you are? You've got to be crazy. That's never been done before. You're not so-and-so. Who do you think you are? But what did Noah do? Even though he had never seen rain, he exercised faith and he built that giant boat on dry land. Verse 8 tells us that God told Abraham to go to a place that he never visited before or hadn't even seen. Yet he obeyed in faith. Has God asked you to go somewhere or to build something that you've never seen? That doesn't make any sense? Go someplace that you don't even know where you're going, and he says just keep stepping out, keep walking that path? Both of these people faced great uncertainty. They had no clue. And I know some of you are thinking, man, I've so been there. But they both obeyed. They showed great faith. In fact, when we exercise faith and we take that step in uncertainty, we might feel fearful or anxious because our brains don't like uncertainty, do they? When we face uncertainty, the fear centers of our brains cause specific hormones to enter our bloodstream and certain neurotransmitters to increase in our brain, which creates anxiety and even fear. So a step in faith as a leader may initially cause an emotional discomfort. I want you to know it's normal. It's a biological process that we can't avoid. God put that in us to protect us. But feeling such emotions doesn't necessarily mean that we have a lack of faith. Keep pressing through. Another quality is faith takes the long view. When God told Abraham to go to the new land, he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. The secret of Abraham's patience was his hope in the ultimate fulfillment of the promises of God. He was told amazing promises. That he was barren, and his wife was barren, and they couldn't have children. And he was an old man, and he was promised that he would have so many children that it would be like the stars in the sky or the sands of the sea. And did he ever really see that? Probably not till he was in heaven. But now he can see all of that. And that's what we have to do, too. We have to hang on to this ultimate promised land in heaven. You know, even in verse 13, the writer of Hebrews tells us that these faith heroes were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things that were promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. They set the path, and they encouraged others to go along with them. That's what leadership really is. It requires that we take the long view of ministry, not rating our business or our ministry success by the inevitable short-term setbacks. The fourth quality is it confronts the impossible. verse 11, God's promise to Abraham that he and Sarah would have a son. He was 99 and she was 90. I mean, I can't imagine having a baby when I was 90. Such a pregnancy at her age seemed impossible. Think about it. Is there a medical impossibility in your life that you could believe for? I'm sure that's what this was, right? We also go on to see in verse 17 through 19 that faith requires sacrifice. He was asked to sacrifice his promised son after he arrived. He had never seen a resurrection, but he reasoned that God must be able to raise him from the dead, knowing that if he had given him this son and promised him that he would have all of these children, and he only had the one son with Sarah that was the promise was made through, that God would do something and he would make a way. So faith requires sacrifice. And lastly, it enables perseverance. Not that it's going to require, but I can almost guarantee it will, but it will enable, it gives the power for the perseverance. In verse 32 through 35, Hebrews lists the incredible successes of several, what I would call Bible heroes, who exercised faith. By human standards, the heroes in this list were true winners. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised, according to verse 39. Sometimes we lead at our best, yet we see little or no progress. We experience heartache. Sometimes we feel like giving up. And it's during those times, perhaps, that the supreme mark of genuine faith is our courage to face all of our difficulties. But we will press through to the potential that God's put inside of the seeds of our heart if we have faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we just come before you. We love you and we praise you. Lord, we command Bonnie's body in Jesus' name to remove that cancer in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Cindy's sister, as well as for Bonnie's sister, that the peace would come to them, that stress would be released. Lord, we pray for the city of Orlando and for our country. We ask for peace and safety and that these shootings would be stopped, this crime would be stopped in Jesus' name. We pray for all of those that are working as 911 dispatchers or with the police or the FBI or anyone that's protecting us. We pray for those first responders, Lord, and we pray for those unknown people's families, Lord, that they would just have certainty. The unknowing is the thing that gets us, so bring them peace beyond understanding. Lord, I pray for healing in this situation as well. Lord, we praise you that Gail's sister is going for custody of her granddaughter and things are moving well. We ask, Lord, a hedge of protection be placed around them and their family in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just praise you that we were able to be together. And Lord, as Jessica is on her heart, Lord, we just also command that cancer leave her body in Jesus' name, that we will stand in faith. We will not speak these diagnoses over our lives, but we will stand firm in faith according to Jesus. And the healing that he provides, we stand in that faith. Lord, I ask that each person would rise up into the potential and live out by faith what has been promised to us, and that we'd bring other leaders around us to do exactly the same. And Lord, whether we see the fruit of the promise or we live into the full potential or not, Lord, help us to be faithful as we go through our days and our weeks. We love you and thank you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Take care, everybody. God bless you, and we'll be back together next week for another great study. But know that I love you. If you have other prayer requests, feel free to, you can either private message those to me if you like, or you can post them on The Christian Direct Seller on Facebook. I love you. I hope that you've been encouraged today and that know that God wants to help you realize your potential, but you've got to have seeds of faith that will be growing inside of you. Take care. God bless you, and I'll be with you guys next week. Bye now.